You are listening to a podcast from West Hill United Church, located in Scarborough, Ontario, Canada. These podcasts are made possible by the generous support of our listeners, volunteers, and members of our community. To donate, go to our website, www.westhill.net, and click on the Canada Helps button, or go to westhill.net/donate.
We wish to acknowledge that we are on the traditional territory of the Mississaugas of the New Credit First Nation lands, which lands were previously occupied by the Seneca and Huron-Wendat First Nations. The Truth and Reconciliation Call to Action. Each week, in order to remain aware of our treaty obligations and the relationship we have with our First Nations sisters and brothers, we read one of the 94 recommendations sent to all levels of government by the Truth and Reconciliation Commission. We expect to complete these readings in June 2017. Recommendation number 59. We call upon church parties to the settlement agreement to develop ongoing education strategies to ensure that their respective congregations learn about their church's role in colonization, the history and legacy of residential schools, and why apologies to former residential school students, their families, and communities were necessary. Both our readings this morning were written by Terence McKenna. Nature loves courage. You make the commitment, and nature will respond to that commitment by removing impossible obstacles. Dream the impossible dream, and the world will not grind you under. It will lift you up. This is the trick. This is what all these teachers and philosophers who really counted, who really touched the alchemic gold, that is what they understood. This is the shamanic dance in the waterfall. This is how magic is done, by hurling yourself into the abyss and discovering it's a feather bed. The creative act is a letting down of the net of human imagination into the ocean of chaos on which we are suspended, and the attempt to bring out of it ideas. It is the night sea journey, the lone fisherman on a tropical sea with his nets, and you let these nets down. Sometimes something tears through them and leaves them in shreds, and you just row for shore and put your head under your bed and pray. At other times, what slips through are the minutiae, and you can the minnows of this ichthyological metaphor of idea chasing. But sometimes you can actually bring home something that is food, food for the human community that we can sustain ourselves on and go forward, offered as wisdom for the journey. May we walk in its light.
We hadn't really planned to have a focus moment this morning. However, Greta received something yesterday that she shared with me and asked me if I would share it with the congregation. And it's a letter from one of her colleagues, one of the folks that she went through Theological College with, and it's addressed and has been sent to the United Church of Canada. To whom it may concern, I submit the following as an official request to have my name removed and from every official list of the United Church of Canada clergy, and to have my name placed on the discontinued service list. This is partly because what the church is currently doing to Greta Vosper and her congregation, but even more broadly because that is a clear indication of an even larger problem. The United Church has lost its way. I'm no longer proud to be associated with it, and I have been more and more reluctant to identify myself as one of its ministers. This is not the ambience which attracted me in the first place, and it certainly isn't what I was ordained into. Never, ever was I subjected in any of my pre-ordination interviews over the several years to such an intensive and excessive interrogation as Greta has faced before the subcommittee, which basically amounted to a heresy trial. Since when is right beliefs an ancient persecuted offense, a United Church of Canada priority? I did not become a minister who had to swear I believed in a list of set vows that were unalterable and infallible, and to sign to that. Without growth, there is stagnation. It seems the United Church itself is settling into that state. And any ministers who have not grown in their learning and thinking since their seminary days and ordination have not kept up with the continuing education as most other professionals are required to, and have failed to be good leaders. This is a quote. By the time you ought to be teachers, but you need someone to teach you elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teachings about righteousness, doing what is right, justice, versus doing the opposite, wickedness. This was from Hebrews 5, verses 12 and 13. There have been threats of splits in the church before, when we chose to ordain women, to support anti-apartheid in South Africa, to accept and ordain and marry gays. The church never gave in to those, some of which were more dire in their seriousness and severity. We were able to accept the renewal fellowship and community of concern. Moderator Bill Phillips said Jesus wasn't divine, causing a media uproar and frenzy. They do love the scent of scandal. But he wasn't subject to an inquisition and defrocking. Being of a legal bent, both the originator of the document, this would be the review, that resulted in the investigation of Greta, and the current General Secretary are thus focusing on the letter of the law, which is so not Jesus. In fact, Greta has been treated the same as the religious authorities of his day treated Jesus, who called them out on putting law over compassion. In fact, Jesus called them a brood of vipers, snakes, and hypocrites for doing exactly that. Maybe it's time to reread Matthew chapter 23. And don't forget, Jesus was right there in the midst of all the rest of the world, in the midst of all those the rest of the world had rejected, abused, despised, exiled to the margins, embracing, respecting, and including them. In his parables, Jesus even used some as good examples to follow. Jesus didn't insist on people believing anything. In fact, he told the rich young ruler who had kept all the laws to a T that what he lacked was how he cared about and for others around him. Go and sell all that you have and give it away to those in need. With the story of the sheep and goats, It was also about how vulnerable people were treated. The Hebrew scriptures repeatedly say the same thing. A nation, one could say a denomination, will be judged on how it treats the least of these. Furthermore, Jeremiah talks about a time when teaching about God will no longer be required, because all God's desires and characteristics we claim God has will be written on and in people's hearts. The Bible is all about doing and living, not about believing. Even the understanding of that word's meaning has become compromised and corrupted. Ever since the latter union with the Evangelical United Brethren, the EUB, it seems the United Church has been gradually slipping into a more conservative perspective. We are no longer open and exploring the inclusive and progressive denomination we once were, emphasizing social justice issues, which drew so many people, including me, to it. How many of the EUB clergy or those seeking admission from other denominations were extensively questioned as to their openness to what was then their old theology? And now the United Church is willing to accept a request from anyone, even with no prior involvement with church, Christianity, let alone the United Church. No longer do they even need to be associated for a few years with a congregation where they would have been exposed to United Church thinking and be known by United Church members. Where is the accountability there? Where is the theological grilling and set requirements of belief? Words are a serious concern in any communication, and communicating anything religious and spiritual in words is even more complicated. For one thing, the meaning of words changes over time with translation from culture to culture. Definitions can even become corrupted and distorted. Any word connected with God is both limited and limiting. Therefore, demanding there be only one single acceptable understanding is slipping into idolatry. The church has not taught well the concept of metaphor over literal. As I have experienced within my own congregation and with others, many, if not most, or even all, of our religious words come with so much baggage and both misinformation and misunderstanding, along with bad translation and interpretations, that they are obstacles driving people away. Some people like Spong and Borg believe the words can be redeemed, but for many that has not worked. So now others are working at replacing new, less loaded words, an attempt to meet those many who are desperately seeking something spiritual, something of substance and meaning. If that meets their needs, resulting in them living the kind and compassionate, caring, open, inclusive lives Jesus taught, is that not a good thing? Something to be applauded and encouraged rather than attacked and deplored, exiled from our very midst. Are we not to be known by our fruits? The United Church has supposedly grown, so we proclaim anyway, from union in 1925 to a continuum to a current concept of holy mystery. Surely Greta is within that holy mystery, or should be included. She is not trying to convert anyone, not insisting all follow or even agree with her. She is breathing out goodness, even to, I might add, her accusers. The United Church has missed out on an incredibly important and crucial teachable moment. Instead of going against our own principles and attacking and excluding, the Church should have taken the amazing opportunity to teach the general population and media, as well as its own members, many of whom apparently badly need it to. educating them that it is not just a choice only between God and no God, that the word God is a mere feeble attempt to explain something beyond description, that God is broader than any word we can come up with and far broader than any concept we can conceive. Thus, there are many, many, many ways to think about God, some of which might even include not using the word God at all. That the word atheist also has other broader and deeper understandings than merely no God. What a tragic loss and waste of such an incredibly wide open opportunity. While Greta might feel betrayed by her church, as I do, she's not the only one being hurt. You are insulting her whole congregation, as well as all those other clergy and congregations who have been quietly teaching and living the same things. You are also grossly insulting and turning away all those others with no current religious affiliation who are searching for a place where they can find and feel spirituality. No more is the United Church of Canada a place where they can feel at home and accepted. We used to talk about living the question, but now, no more questions, no more seeking. We too now act as if we have the answer. This smacks of hubris and serious lack of humility. The process itself, which was both exclusive and secretive, was a disgrace. No biblical justice here. Just law, enforcement, and punishment. No ever-flowing stream either. I would remind you of what Gamaliel, a well-respected religious authority of his time, said to the people out to get the apostles. This is from the Acts. Consider carefully what you propose to do to these people. I tell you, keep away from them and let them alone. Because if this plan or this undertaking is of human origin, it will fail. And he had mentioned others had. But if it is not of God, you will not be able to overthrow them. In that case, you may even be found fighting against God. Unquote. No matter what the definition of God or whether that word is even used. In Judaism, and Jesus was a Jew, teaching and learning thrived on controversy and debate, or dialogue, as Greta keeps requesting. The sages taught that every argument deserved a hearing, for one could never know whether future generations might not discover truth in the minority view, as well as the majority. When I was first at seminary, I remember thinking, I'm not the first person to be taught this stuff. Why have I never heard even a vague hint of any of it from my ministers, the ones that I've encountered, met, or known? Why indeed? I'm beginning to think it was partly because of fear. Very sad, since by far the most common biblical commandment is fear not. Well, I am sick at heart and tired of being in a denomination that is ruled at least in part by fear, and being part of a clergy that keeps silent because of fear. Some years ago, I decided I would never again read any scripture, say any creed or prayer, perform any ritual, preach or teach anything I could not do with integrity. I made no public announcement, and my congregation likely never realized the radical changes. However, I received positive feedback and comments that they appreciated the honesty and openness, and at least some found it liberating, refreshing, and soul-nourishing. This is then my further act of integrity. I can no longer be silent and secretive, especially when doing so leaves my colleague and classmate abandoned and hanging out to dry like some sacrificial lamb. When my denomination has betrayed its principles, thus also betraying me and negating my calling, again the cry goes up, let my people go. With deep regret, I am telling you I am leaving. Remove my name from your rolls. This was written by Reverend Beverly Day Burdock. Beverly was ordained Bay of Quinte in 1990, and she graduated from Queen's Theological College in 1988. In doing a little bit of research, Bev is a minister in the Maritime Conference. She is retired, but she is still active and does services from time to time for a number of congregations in the Maritimes. So I stand here and I take a deep breath as I listen to that. What a courageous thing for her to do and for her to say. There's great power in the words that she has written. So we have talked on a number of occasions, and many of us have thought that there aren't enough in the clergy who are standing up and being counted. And this is definitely someone who has made the choice to stand up beside Greta and to be counted in this abundant blessing. And now back to our regularly scheduled service. It's now my pleasure to welcome back our guest speaker, Aga Bahari. You've all heard, I think, last week, if you were here, you heard a rather extensive bio. And we've published it a few times, so I'm only going to touch on a few key things. Aga grew up in Tehran, Iran, and was at one point accused of westernizing the revolution's youth. How awful. This forced him to flee to Canada via Malaysia and Hong Kong, where he claimed refugee status. Aga, now a Canadian citizen, is an internationally recognized musician and sound engineer. The gifts that he shares with us this morning stem from his involvement and as co-organizer of the Toronto Transhumanist Society. I know Aga will stimulate, maybe even irritate, and challenge us this morning with his thoughts and his philosophy. So please join me once again in welcoming Aga.
Hello?
Yep.
Awesome.
So I take full responsibility for any kind of stimulation or irritation. Last week, I talked about we as humans are sharing very basic things, and the rest are open to be interpreted as subjective facts based on individuals. For example, I mentioned water. We all want to drink clean, decent water. So we can count on humanity come together and stand against, for example, a corporation who wants to have private holding on the water sources. Food is another one, shelter is another one, and I would argue that technology is another one. And I want to point out the conversation that I had with Dear Dale last week. She mentioned that the human touch was missing in what I was proposing. And we continued the conversation, and I learned that she's a sight reader, pianist, who is not a fan of using technology. Would that be fair to say? Now, I thought about it and realized you already are using technology. You're using sheet music, which is created through publishing and print technology. It's been distributed using cars, probably. You're using glasses to read that sheet, which is a technology by itself, and you're playing a piano. which has been made because of technology. Still a technology. How many of you guys have seen 2001 Space Odyssey? Okay, so you're familiar with the scene that it's two groups of monkeys in this massive desert fighting over resources with each other. At some point, one of the monkeys find a really big bone of a dead animal and learn that he can go and hit other monkeys with it and take over their food resources or water resources. That's a technology. That's an extension of your reach. Cars doing the same thing. Internet's doing the same thing. And I think the most human things about us at this point is technology. If you're wearing clothes, if you're using a jacket to stay warm during winter, you're using some sort of technology. This building has been built because of technology. So food, water, shelter, technology, whatever else that you can think, all humanity will agree on that element being the fundamental need. After that, everything is subjective. What a wonderful letter to be read before the talk that I'm going to give this week, because that's all I'm going to talk about. That you as an individual have the freedom and right and maybe an obligation to learn from everything around you and create something that is unique according to your voice and give it back to the world and the universe so others can be inspired and receive that fact and truth that's been created from your mind and your experiences, and take it and make whatever else that they want to make. Think about missionary work, for example. I come across a lot of Mormon missionaries, and in the beginning, I wanted to talk to them just to see what's going on, but I ended up changing the side of the street after maybe a month because they're all talking about the same thing. Would you like to hear more about Jesus Christ? I've already heard everything that I needed to hear about Jesus. But I'm interested to hear your opinion about those teachings. For example, if you're black, I have a problem with you following Mormonism that suggests that the only way black men can get into heaven is as a slave. That's not a heaven for black person then. And until 1960s, black person couldn't become a priest within that structure. There are good things and there are horrible things about all of these teachings. Why can't we just pick what we like as the community? For example, the community organization of religion is amazing, the way that it brings people together. But we don't have to go and follow every single step of the way. That's what fundamentalism is. And I think we have the opportunity to learn now that it's not working. Look what's happening in the Middle East and Northern Africa. They're not doing something outside of that teaching. They're just doing all of it. And they're doing it objectively. That these are objective teachings of Allah or Jesus or whoever. Buddha said, "My teachings are like a raft for you to cross the river with. Once you cross the river, you don't need to carry the raft with you. Go and find something else to do." So what I'm talking this week about is the process that I called, when you realize what we have as humans to share with each other, then you can go beyond that, and I'm calling that a new humanity. If you practice that, you're a new human, that you receive, you create, and you share. And it can happen with what you may consider as positive events or negative events. Let's talk about what's happening with Greta right now. Greta had received a blow from the United Church. Can we agree that that was a negative thing to happen? But she got that, and she created her own concept that, hey, I'll try my best to make it work, but if it doesn't work, I'll go and start another community in downtown Toronto. And now she's sharing it with everybody else, so you can be a part of it. That's the most beautiful thing that can happen ever. Imagine if missionaries, for example, go around like, hey, I'm a Christian. I heard about Jesus and start following him. Some good things, but like virgin born makes no sense to me. What do you think? Now, how much progress will be made like that? But unfortunately, in a lot of places, I'm coming from Iran. In Iran, it's mandatory to fast, for example, during Ramadan. That's why everybody who's coming from that region, I know you guys are amazingly respectful towards all those belief systems and religions. We have no respect for any of them. Because when we were 9 and 10 or 8, we were forced not to eat. But that didn't really work because we were going to the bathroom and eating. And everybody knows that. See what's happening in the United States now with Trump. Who are Trump supporters? A lot of them are evangelical Christians. Because it takes that mentality to believe this one person can solve all the problems. His last ad is, Donald Trump is the only one who can save you. Nobody else can do it except him. So I think we should have the right and maybe an obligation to call BS when we see BS. And there is nothing sacred about any of these things. This is subjective teachings. I even talk about with a lot of Americans, my girlfriend is an American, and her father's side, they're Trump delegates and donors. So we have a lot of conversations, especially about Second Amendment, the right to bear arms, that you cannot make an argument based on a document that was written before electricity was invented, and it was written with a feather, when you could shoot maybe one bullet every 40 seconds. It just makes no sense. And America was during a war, but they're talking about it like it's the second coming of Jesus Christ. It's like all the founding fathers were, you know, extension of apostles. It makes no sense. Let's go through and see what's working from that document for us in the 21st century. And then move on. Are we really still talking about abortion? Are we really concerned about race? You're black, you're white. Beyond that skin, we're the same thing. What have you contributed to this world? That's how I'm going to judge you, if I'm going to judge you. So look around you and experience everything. But don't really hold on to anything because you end up going down water with it. The world is fluid. Everything changes at all times. And I understand why building a structure, solid structure, objective solid structure for your life can be tempting because it gives you a sense of security. But there is no guarantee that it's going to work because that's just your experience and that's just the result of your personal experience. It can be ruined at all times. You know, you can't be sure, for example, that I'm going to do my best to raise this kid and he's going to be amazing. There is no guarantee. Trump parents probably feel the same way. So atheism, for example, I'm an atheist. I'll go a step further. That I'm anti-theist, that even if there is a God, as explained in Bible and Quran, I see it as an immoral act to follow that guy. That goes to supposedly his prophet and like, hey, wake up, go kill your son. I'm like, all right. No, don't kill him. It's ridiculous. And now the effect that church, for especially United States, has in politics, it can ruin all of our lives. So I think this is very, very valuable that Greta and others like her are talking about how this dominating notion of following these rules that supposedly has some sort of a divinity to it is the only way to go. And I don't think we need it. I think we have absolute freedom to make whatever we want from our lives and define it based on our own understanding, good and bad and happy and sad, right or wrong. And people who agree with us, we, you know, this is what social media is doing, that bringing people who think the same way together. Now, there is downside to it too, that you're less and less becoming open to a opposite argument, but that's up to you. You have the resources to watch CNN, Fox News, and Al Jazeera and make up your mind what's going on in the world. and I'm following all of them. This is what's going on in the world. Trace the money. See where the money's going. It's all business. It's all big businesses. Churches used to be the biggest buildings in the cities. What are the biggest buildings in the cities now? Banks, insurance companies, just big, massive. We're better than you. We're bigger than you. No. As much as they need us, as much as we need them, they need us. Until we can go beyond a profit-driven economy, I would assume. So just be open. That's, I think, the most important thing. And learn from everything. And when you start doing that, you at some point you realize there is no good and bad and right and wrong inherently, because you need that bad to define the good. You need darkness to shine a light through. Without darkness, light has no meaning. And this is the greatest time to be alive, I believe. And I think that because of our understanding and because of our technology, we probably end up being fine, or we're going to destroy ourselves completely. We are at that point of history right now. And I think it's a matter of every single one of us understanding if we want to solve anything. Peace, world peace is a great idea. As I said last week, it's not going to happen out of nowhere. It's not just going to pop out. The very good reason for everybody who is involved in war to stay involved with war, because it's profit-driven, it's power-driven. And they convince everybody else that these are the objective truth. Democracy is the best way to go. Thank you so much. Next week I will be talking about the last part of this whole thing, which I call logology, which understand that this whole system that we're experiencing is all intervened and connected. And we are, as individuals, as unique as droplets of water in the ocean, but we're all building this one ocean together. Thank you very much. I'll be happy to answer any questions if you have any questions. All right. Thank you. Yes. Right.
And in fact, I agree fully. Like, there's something really fundamentally wrong with people who are making money. Shares to sell water and people and so on. But I just like to know how this is happening. I come from a generation where I don't want blood on the street, and yet sometimes it becomes, you can only make a revolution to change this capital system, which is corrupt, rotten, and hurting.
Well, we're all enabling the system. So it's not like the system is against us. Apple, for example, Foxconn in China, the workers are working 16 hours a day, for example, for nothing. They have a net under the roof. I think it's a four-story building, because people just jump down from the building. They don't want to do it. But what is the result of that? iPhones that we are paying more than $1,000. So I think to solve that, we first have to solve, why do we need a new iPhone every year? It has not much to do with technology, it's more of a trend. And I think that trend also comes from, we want to be unique. We want to stand out. And that has been interpreted by the system to us, that being unique and standing out is material. Because basically all of our job is not what we're doing. Our job is to shop, is to constantly put money back into the system, this cycle. And you know, what's happening is that because of reliance on technology, in those sectors, for example, banking, at some point they will lose complete control, because they rely completely on algorithm. And the amount of information and data that they receive right now is beyond the capability of humans to analyze and make sense out of. So you become more and more reliant on algorithms and artificial intelligence. And at that point, humanity, it has no meaning, because one thing over there, one glitch there, can, you know, what happened in 2008 with the financial meltdown. So what can we do? We just need to... It's not going to happen. That's why I said we either going to end up really well, or we're going to completely destroy ourselves. Because I don't think it's a matter of a couple of years or a couple of decades. This is something that people always loved watching, for example, competitive games, gladiators in Rome, football and UFC now. Humanity likes strong, powerful, dominant. So I think it's coming. It's a double-edged sword. It creates a lot of good things. It creates a lot of bad things. But at the same time, I think capitalism has worked well enough for us to be at the point of automation that you can, which by itself, again, is a double-edged sword, that you replace, for example, truck drivers with automated trucks. You have 7 million truck drivers losing jobs, but at the same time, you decrease the level of accidents. So when that goes deep within manufacturing sectors, at some point, the cost of producing a product will be nothing because you're not paying that machine. You don't need to change that machine. The machine don't take a break. You basically just feed the raw material expenses to the machine and it will just create it in a cycle. But then again, it's a very utopian idea that like no money, everything is free. Universal basic income is one of the things that they're talking about, that we're just going to give money to people to cover the rent, electricity, basic need, and then do whatever they want to do. Because a lot of jobs cannot be replaced. A miner cannot be made into a computer programmer, for example. So it's good, but it's also horrible at the same time. And I think it depends on the very core of humanity to go beyond that or just destroying ourselves by it. Yes, sir.
There's two forms of money. There's a Keynesian form of money where the powerful, the government, use money to control society. They create money out of nothing, no vacuum.
Right.
There's no productivity. And then there's a Austrian form of economy where money is produced with vacuum. Every dollar you print is an ounce of gold. So there's productivity with money. And if we go to the Austrian system of using money, then it is very hard for whoever is manipulating us now and bringing us down and turning the world into a chaotic, whatever we've been discussing, it would be a lot harder for them to do this if we use Austrian money, because when you print a dollar, you have to account for that dollar with that ounce of gold.
Yeah, but we don't have enough gold for that. I mean, this is something that's been talked many times. We just don't have enough gold. So we either have to move to another valuable material element to back our money with.
I agree with you. Okay, it doesn't have to go. Some form of backing. Money has to have a valuable backing. It has to have value before you print it.
Okay, even if that's the case, it's still being printed from a centralized place. So this gets a little complicated, but now we have decentralized systems that authentication doesn't have necessarily go through a single centralized source. So everybody in the network authenticate all the... Have you guys heard of a Bitcoin? So Bitcoin is not being released from a centralized bank. It's everybody in the network are mining it, and the value is being determined based on that. It goes up and it drops down. I know two people like within my close circle who became millionaires because of Bitcoins in the early days. You just farm a lot of it. But again, that's anonymous. So you don't really know who's spending what on what. And I think we as a society, we have to have these discussions that are we going to be okay with people anonymously being able to spend money on whatever they want? But at the same time, it has a lot of ups and downs because it's not centralized. So it's in its infancy. But I think this will be the future of economy and politics. But beyond that, even if you're backing money with material, there will be a lot of different people in a lot of different fields work with work experiences, that they're going to be out of jobs because we're living in the time of automation. And because it is a profit-driven economy, we cannot expect that a massive company, for example, like Walmart, says, no, we're not going to replace our workers with machines because it's not ethical or immoral, because they're just going to be left behind in the game, this profit game. So universal basic income, to me, is the only viable solution for now, but these are the things that we have to change all the time. We're doubling humanity knowledge every year, right? So 2,500 years ago, this has been every 2,500 years. And now we're at the point that it's every year we're doubling the knowledge of humanity. At some point, it will be every day. And this is what I mean, that we rely so much on our technology that that's the most human things about us right now. And I think at some point we will merge with it completely, because we are moving beyond our human understanding, human systems, human biology, and even the political systems has to be changed. All the systems have to be altered themselves according to the needs of 21st century, which is a very, very different needs than even 15, 20 years ago. I hope that makes sense.
Okay. I don't want to shut down the conversation at all. I'm going to invite Aga, and I'm hoping he's going to stay. He'll be in the coffee room afterwards for some conversation. And I noticed last week there was a little bit of a hub around him looking for some dialogue. So I'm just going to suggest that we just take a moment to just kind of allow it all to sink in a bit, and then we'll close.
Okay, thank you very much.
Whenever I have the opportunity to thank someone for their presentation, it's always a huge challenge to me, because I hear all these little, I'll call them nuggets, that I want to reflect on and talk about. I heard one sentence that just really grabbed me, was that we have the freedom, the right, and the obligation to learn from everything around us, create something, and share it. And I think you used the words receive, create, and share, and I think that's an absolutely wonderful perspective on who we are and what we have an obligation to do as residents of this planet. I heard words that talked about being open. I heard words that talked about complexity, part of which I could understand, part of which I wasn't quite sure I was understanding, but the complexity of technology and how that's such a double-edged sword. And we're I don't know what's there is a rule about the increase in technology, it increases tenfold. Bohr's law.
Twice powerful, twice as small.
Yeah. Every year things increase by a factor of 10 or 2. So we can certainly expect things to change faster and faster and faster and faster. And I mean, as I look out over this congregation, I see quite a bit of gray. I wish I had more gray, to be very honest with you. So we have come through, many of us have come through a time when technology was very different than we see it today, but it was nonetheless, it was technology and it was interesting. So I invite you today to consider a couple of things as we look to the future of one another. The issue for me comes down to being open. The issue for me comes down to equality. As our world changes, what is happening and how are we looking to care for one another? we will all be impacted in some form or fashion. And how do we go beyond ourselves to consider all of those who are part of that equation? So thank you for being here today. Thank you, Aga, for sharing with us. And we look forward to hearing more from you next week. So I invite you now, if you would kindly stand. And Greta uses the term watching each other away. That comes right back, that takes us right back to the very first things at the beginning of our service when we talk about our interconnectedness. And our interconnectedness gives us that obligation and that desire to be connected with one another, and that happens as we watch each other away every week. So please go from this place in peace, and hopefully we'll see you all next week. And hopefully we'll see you all next Saturday night as well. Thank you.
Our thoughts we now center on all that is good, on all that we know is worth.
You have been listening to a podcast from West Hill United Church located in Scarborough, Ontario, Canada. These podcasts are made possible by the generous support of our listeners, volunteers, and members of our community. To donate, go to our website, www.westhill.net, and click on the Canada Helps button, or go to www.westhill.net/donate.